Double to Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. 1025 The Game, live today at Bridgestone Arena from the Patron Platinum Club, where the Predators play tonight. Brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths, on the web at GoHermitage.com. So, oftentimes, football is very much a pass-or-fail grade. Did you win? Yes or no? It's binary. And fan reaction oftentimes is binary. Did you win? Yes. Okay, we don't want to hear anything bad about the team, Jared. Only good all the time. Okay. All right. Don't want to hear anything good. Okay, I understand. You know, that's okay, fine, whatever. You have this, that, the other. I look at games, and when teams lose, I want to know why they lost. And I want to say, okay, this is an issue that is fixable this way. Or this happened because of this. It's like the Predators are losing a bunch of games right now, and people are all been out of shape about it that text into Robbie and Rex Road. And I don't really, I mean, this is what happens when you play young players. You play young players, they're not going to win. Like, that's usually, look at Justin Fields, look at every rookie quarterback. It takes time. So I also can look at a win and say, well, that's not right. And yet everybody will tell you, no, who cares? They won. They this, they that. The Tennessee Titans right now have two elite offensive players in the NFL, A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a legitimate MVP candidate. And ever since returning from injury, A.J. Brown has been every bit the number one wide receiver that he was made out to be after having 2,000-yard seasons in his first 2 years. But what about Julio Jones? Had the Titans lost on Sunday, and they didn't, and they didn't even come close, but had they lost on Sunday, I think we would be hearing some grumblings about Julio. This is what always happens, is when you win, nobody says anything bad about anything. When you lose, everybody says whatever they can say about anything. And I think Taylor Lewan's a great example of that. When the team wins, all the guys who love to call him dad get all excited, and he loves the party. And when they lose, all the fans who can't stand the over-the-topness of Taylor Lewan point a finger right in his direction. He's the same guy and the same tackle, win or lose. But people just can't seem to take it when they lose, and they seem to embrace it when they win. So I'm looking at Julio Jones right now. And again, the price you paid for him does matter. You gave up $15 million and a second-round pick. So you need results, like the 9-catch results you're getting from A.J. Brown, the great touchdown catches. This season, Julio Jones, 29 yards, 128 yards, 47 yards, 59 yards, 38 yards. In spurts, he shows you that he still got a little bit of that of what made him a great player. That unbelievable catch on the sidelines against Buffalo. That nice little move he did on the Kansas City defender. But overall, outside of the Seattle game, 6 catches for 128 and what should have been a touchdown. Should have been 7 catches and it should have been a touchdown. Outside of the Seattle game, Julio really hasn't done much. He has less touchdowns on the season than Michael Pruitt. He had less catches on Sunday than Josh Reynolds. Now, I didn't watch the game film, and I can't break down how many passes he was open or would have made a great play, and Tannehill threw the ball to somebody else. I don't know. But the Titans' offense right now is pretty good. The way that they're playing, they just dropped 31 points on the Buffalo Bills. But we were all talking about an elite offense, and the elite offense was the idea of, hey, pick your poison. You take something away, I am going to make you pay. When you play the Rams in 2 weeks, they're going to load the box because they're not going to let Derrick Henry run for 155 yards and beat them. They're going to take their number one corner, whom they traded 2 first-round picks in order to get and have paid a fortune to in Jalen Ramsey, and they're going to put him on A.J. Brown because anybody with a brain would do that. They would say, hey, we're going to go send Aaron Donald at the quarterback. We're going to load the box. We're going to man up Jalen Ramsey on A.J. Brown, and everybody else has to beat us. There's one guy. It ain't going to be Chester Rogers. It ain't going to be Nick Westbrook Akina. It ain't going to be Josh Reynolds. It ain't going to be Anthony Firkser, who has been a ghost this season. It's got to be Julio Jones. And I still wonder, can Julio be that guy? Can he be what AJ's been the last 2 weeks? Because if he can be what AJ has been the last 2 weeks, and if he can stay healthy, two big ifs, I don't know how you stop this offense. And I try to take Sunday with a grain of salt because the Chiefs' off defense is so bad. But at the same time, I think that was a team that just sold out to stop Derrick Henry. They held him to 86 yards, which for any other running back is not a bad day at the office. But A.J. Brown went absolutely off. And as Tony Dungy pointed out on TV on Football Night in America, basically the Chiefs just stuck everybody at the line of scrimmage. So Tannehill said, okay, and just threw the ball to A.J. Brown. But imagine going up against a good team that has a good defense. It's going to be a lot harder just to throw it up to A.J. Brown, especially when it's like the Rams, they got a Jalen Ramsey. You get Julio Jones playing at a high level, which the Titans were the only team in the league that was convinced he could still do. I don't know how you stop this offense. But as of right now, we've now got, you know, a solid 5 games of data from Julio Jones. He's done it one time. And that was the Seattle game where he was really good. Other than that, 29, 47, 59, 38. Last year with Atlanta, first game of the year, 157, 24, 32, 137, 97, 137. The year before that in Atlanta, 31, 106, 128, 52, 42, 108, 152. The year before that, he had a period of games in 2018, 144, 104, 121, 107, 118, 147, 18, 106. When does Julio Jones plan on joining the party?
Do you think that Julio could potentially be on a pitch count to sustain him for later in the season, or is this just what we can expect moving forward from Julio?
I think he is on a pitch count, but I mean, I can't see you beating the Rams if you go into that game and you say, hey, we only want Julio to play 19 offensive snaps today. Well, if you're going to run 47 plays, how many of those could Julio help you on that you're taking him out of? Like, I don't know of an elite player in the NFL who you can put on a pitch count. Like, you can't put TJ Watt on a pitch count and say, hey, TJ, you only play on third down. Like, that eliminates the point of what makes TJ Watt so great, which is on any play, TJ Watt may kill you.
Well, AJ Brown's on a pitch count.
But does it look like he's on a pitch count?
Not against the Chiefs, no.
Okay. Like, when push came to shove and the game mattered in the fourth quarter against Buffalo, AJ was out there on the field every play. So I don't even know exactly what the snap counts were, but it didn't feel to me like AJ Brown was on a pitch count. And I don't think that you can be a great player on a pitch count in the NFL. I just don't think you can do it. Like, you can't take Rob Gronkowski, for example. The last couple of years in New England, Rob was very clearly on a pitch count. He would miss games. Like, they played the Titans one time, and he was coming off of an injury, and there was talk that Gronk could come back, but Gronk ended up taking that game off because they had their bye week the next week, and then Gronk was, and they really just wanted to make sure that Gronk was ready for the playoffs. The problem with all of that, though, is that Gronk's later years in the NFL, he wasn't a great player anymore. Like, the stats were not top of the league tight end. Mm-hmm. It was, hey, we just need Gronk to catch some passes. But it wasn't top player type stuff anymore. I don't think you can be a top player if, well, you can only play X amount of snaps. And I do think it's probably something they're managing. But if we're talking about this elite offense, the whole thing about the pick your poison is that on any play, Tannehill can go to the line and say, oh, you're going to take this guy away and that guy away, then I'm going to throw it to that guy. But it can't be, well, wait 4 snaps, and then I'm going to throw it to that guy. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if, I mean, I think that this is something that, like, maybe Titan fans, especially after they win, don't want to hear. but I do think is worth noting, which is, does Julio still have anything left in the tank? One play a game is not something left in the $15 million. I can get one play a game out of Michael Pruitt. I don't have a starting tight end. And I do wonder if maybe that's the next evolution of what we're seeing, is that Julio gets 100% healthy. And I can't tell you if he's 100% healthy right now or if he's not 100% healthy. Maybe that's the next step, that he gets 100% healthy, and then we'll see. But, I mean, this looks like a deal for the Titans that might make or break their season, because their defense might be playing well enough to give you a chance. Now, I'm having a hard time, maybe every time I say something good about the Titans, I say, but it was the Chiefs, and right now what the Chiefs are doing is not good. But the Titans defense might give you a chance this year. If it gives you a chance, the offense has to be elite. Right now, they're eighth, I believe, in the league in points, which is pretty good. But if you get Julio going, that eighth maybe becomes third. And if that eighth becomes third, then all those things that everybody got excited about during the offseason might become a reality. And you might be able to do those against the good teams. Like, look at what the Bengals are doing. They got a good running back, they got good receivers, and they got a quarterback that can get it there. That's what the Titans have got to do. But I don't know if the Titans can ever truly do it at the level they're going to want to do it against good competition until they get a second option to go with AJ. They can't beat the Jets if they don't have an option in the passing game. So they need an option in the passing game. But I think really to get over the top, they probably need two. So let's get your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Is Julio going to turn the corner? Are we expecting Julio to turn the corner? Are we okay with where Julio is? Let me tell you about Invigorate Health. That's right. I love Invigorate Health. InvigorateHealthTN.com. If you're feeling old, if you're feeling tired, perhaps you're low on your testosterone. Not yours truly, because I went to Invigorate Health. I got my levels checked. Great testosterone. In fact, one of my friends at the gym today, incredibly jealous when he saw what my testosterone number was. But maybe you need that HRT, that hormone replacement therapy. They've got it. Maybe you really struggle to lose weight. They've got the newest weight loss drug, semaglutide, which is out. And I'll tell you, I was skeptical when I first heard about this weight loss shot. I talked to a doctor who said he's been prescribing it to patients for years, and it was in Men's Health magazine, featured as perhaps the first treatment for obesity. So if you just can't get those pounds off, semaglutide, they've got it. Talk to my friends at Invigorate Health today. They've also got IV therapies, M-Sculpt Neo, you name it, they've got it. I absolutely love Invigorate Health. Online, InvigorateHealthTN.com. Again, that's Invigorate Health. Go talk to my guys today.
You know, we just got into some drives. Again, that's going to be the thing with the play calling offensively that, you know, we start to compare and contrast. Any time that we've gotten into drives, we've begin to start to have some complementary plays and to work some things into our system. When you go, you know, three or four plays, or you turn the ball over early, like that's, you know, hopefully we can get into drives and get some 7, 8, 9 play. You know, we talked to the players about getting the first down and going on the ball. We did that. I thought that they were, you know, prepared and responded well to that, and that was huge the other day. You know, a lot of things that we'll have to clean up from a play calling perspective and a playing perspective and an execution perspective. But we got off to the start that we had hoped for.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel. I mean, only Vrabel can seem that upset after a win like that, where he's like, you know, I mean, the drives, we got to sustain them, and you got to understand that when we sustain them, we get. I thought they did a good job sustaining drives on Sunday.
And there's an element of like football guyism where it's, you know, this is just one game in the past. We're looking forward to the next one, and, you know, we always got to keep up with whatever we were doing, whatever we did right, we need to continue to do. But yeah, I mean, come on, Mike. He has sounded pissed off since Sunday.
A.J. Brown, it should be noted for the pitch count thing, A.J. Brown played 42 snaps, 62% of the offense on Sunday against the Chiefs. Julio Jones played 29 snaps, the same as Marcus Johnson, the same as Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and one less than Josh Reynolds. At some point, I feel like that's got to change.
Well, especially considering how much the Titans have invested in him. Yes.
Julio Jones on the season, what he has done so far over 17 games. So not even 16, what we're used to with Julio. Mm-hmm. And if you go and you look at Julio's stats over a 16-game season in the past, I mean, like, he's not a seven-time All-Pro on accident. Julio, over 16 games, let's just say the last, let's just do his whole career. Mm-hmm. 959, 1198, 580 in five games, 1593, 1871, 1409, 1444, 1677, 1394, 771 in nine games. 771 in nine games, 301 so far this year. So Julio last year was the low outside of the five-game season in 2013. Last year at 771 and three touchdowns was the low. He's on pace for 731 yards and no touchdowns over 17 games.
It's not good, especially considering, too, going into this season, the three-headed monster on this offense is what was advertised.
Do you think this is a three-headed monster, though?
No.
It's two great players.
No. I mean, Julio Jones, at least against the Chiefs, had two big catches to set the Titans up for touchdowns, had two big first-down catches, which is valuable, of course. Mm-hmm. But you don't pay $15 million a year in a second-round pick for a couple first-downs here and there.
731 no touchdowns over 17 games. Not 16 games.
And that's what he's on pace for.
Where he's had 1871 in a season.
Well, we know he's not that. We know he's not 1871 Julio. And that's not, I don't think that's what we as.
We knew that. I don't know if everybody else knew that.
I mean, like the Titans had to have known
you
that he's
remember
not
the hype.
1800 yard a year Julio Jones.
I get a little worried about what the Titans know or don't know when it comes to Julio Jones and the making the trade.
Well, I would hope they know more than I do.
I get a little worried about all that. But I hear your point. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. What do we have?
One texter texts into the text line and says, we scored 34 against what you said was the number one defense last week. I think we're doing okay.
So I understand that. Mm-hmm. That against Buffalo, you scored 34 points, but you can't sit there and say that now you feel, because you scored 34 points against Buffalo in October, that you feel like, okay, this is a finished product, and onward, upward, here you go. I mean, look, the Buffalo game was very impressive.
Yeah.
But let's see what happens when it's the Rams. Because, again, going through the season, and here's what I worry about. It's like, to me, in the NFL, Floyd used to always talk about the fact that half the teams were basically 8-8, and that most of the teams were 8-8. There were some really good teams that are going to finish 13-3, and some really bad teams that are going to finish 3-13. But that everybody else, for the most part, is 8-8, and that the difference between a 10-6 team and a 6-10 team is about five plays that either get made or don't get made. Case in point, the Jets game. Anthony Firkser catches the ball, you probably win the game. That's a win. You didn't make it, you lose. And I think there's probably some merit to that. This year, I feel like it's more obvious to me that there's a bunch of teams over here on one side and a bunch of teams over here on the other side. Like, I think that even teams that I don't think are great teams but are going to have good records, like the Raiders are over here, and teams that stink but aren't so ungodly bad that you have to prying your eyeballs out to watch them, like the Eagles are over here. But I think it's going to be very much divided in that sense. I look at the Titans and think, okay, once you get past this Rams game, everybody else is a game you should win. The Steelers, the Patriots, the Saints, the Texans, the Jags, the 49ers, every single one of those games you should win. I'm not saying you're going to, but every single one this team is better than. You are better than the New England Patriots. I understand it's the NFL, but I'm worried that we're going to get this false sense of security that the Titans, if they finish 13-4, are really, 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 really good, and that, you know, they can do whatever because they're just dumping on all these bad teams and embarrassing them. When you play the elites, can you get past them? And I'll use Julio as an example. Mm-hmm. Texter said, hey, 34 points against the Bills. Get off our back, Jared.
Solid.
I understand that.
And I don't think we're taking anything away from that win.
You won that game by 1 foot. You have Julio Jones go out there and drop you 100 yards, you probably win by more than 1 foot.
And we said if the Bills and Titans play 10 times, I said the Titans would win maybe 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty fair, and I think a lot of fans would agree with me on that. But can you
imagine? I think 5's kind of generous. Because 5 is 50-50. And the only time that you're going to play them again would be in the playoffs.
Okay, 4.
And in the playoffs, given their schedule, it's most likely to be there.
Yes.
So I have a hard, like, I think 3 is probably the right number of if you play them 10 times.
Okay, but in that same wheelhouse of you probably beat them fewer times than they would beat you.
Sure.
Can you imagine if Julio Jones, doesn't have to be 1,800-yard Julio Jones, if he's 1,000-yard Julio Jones, can you imagine what this team, how many times this team could beat the Buffalo Bills and how much more comfortable you would feel moving forward going into the playoffs if you had not one but two reliable Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers that Ryan Tannehill can throw to? Because you can only imagine that these defenses, like the Buffalo Bills, like the Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to shut down Derrick Henry. And you have to be able to rely on someone else.
The two best Titan offenses of my lifetime had a very defined number two wide receiver. The 2020 offense had Corey Davis, who just finished under 1,000 yards, but was very clearly defined as the number two. I think everybody around here knew AJ was the number one, Corey was the number two, but he still almost gave you 1,000 yards. That was probably the best Titans offense of my lifetime. The second best Titans offense of my lifetime was the 2003 offense. Steve McNair won the MVP. Eddie George, I think, had 1,000 yards that year, and Derek Mason was the number one receiver. Justin McCarron's a very defined number two and was kind of the deep ball guy. Justin McCarron's finished that year with 813 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's what you need. 731, no touchdowns, what Julio's on pace for, that's probably not good enough. The 1,000 yards that Corey Davis almost gave you last year, that's what you need. Now, here's the kicker to this. If you had said, hey, you're going to have the same offense you had last year. So let's say that Julio matches what Corey Davis did. You have the same offense last year, but take away Jonnu Smith, but you get a pass rush. I would settle for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have given them a better chance to compete in the playoffs. What you really want is you want last year's offense with the last 2 weeks pass rush. Because if you have that, then you are every bit Super Bowl contender. And I really think that if you've got the last 2 weeks pass rush with the offense you had last season, I think you probably can beat anybody. And that includes the teams in the NFC that are clearly better than the teams in the AFC. Although I will say this, I try not to get too caught up in week one or September football or whatever. That Arizona game does kind of look like a measuring stick game in hindsight.
The Cardinals are really good.
But the Titans had so much screwed up that game that, like, it's...
Titans have improved since week one.
Yes. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phone. 615-737-1025. Right here on Stillman and Company. FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. Game one of the World Series is tonight. You know exactly who I'm rooting for here in game one. And you need to get in with my friends on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. That is right, because for game one, there are so many great options that you can choose from with the Fall Classic that they're going to hook up all customers with a risk-free same-game parlay bet. Place a same-game parlay on game one of the World Series, and if you win, you will get if you don't win, you will get a refund in site credit. Build your parlay your way, combining your favorite bets into one big wager for a big payday. So I think you're going to see Charlie Morton strikeouts. I think it's going to be a big number. Maybe Yordan Alvarez, anytime home run hitter would be a good one. Not sure exactly how I feel about game one of the World Series, so you're going to have to get in there and do it yourself. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, make sure to get the most out of October baseball by downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app and using the promo code JGM to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's JGM. 21 and older and present Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
There or close to there to that pick your poison offense that we talked about in the offseason?
I don't want to say, you know, but I definitely think we moved in the right direction. You know, this is one game. We didn't win the Super Bowl today, so we're not going to get big-headed about one win.
Even though you didn't win the Super Bowl today, it's still back-to-back wins over sure. the top teams in the conference. I mean, do you feel like this is kind of like an opportunity to put the league on notice about what you guys are capable of?
The league's going to do its thing. They're going to say, look out for the Titans. Where they beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bills. But, I mean, for us, it's a week-to-week. It's a week-to-week league, and it's tough, you know. So we got to come in, and we got to go to work every week. So no matter what the game plan is, like, nobody knows who's going to win when you go out there. Like, you can have the perfect game plan, and it can all go wrong. So, like I said, it's a week-to-week league, and we're going to try to stay focused and worry about next week against the Colts. So.
There you go. That was A.J. Brown. After the Titans win, they're trying so hard not to get too high. You know, they don't get too high, don't get too low. They're trying so hard, which I find.
They should.
Whatever works. By the way, something that's bothering me, if you're watching the stream, I'm wearing a sweater today because we're at Bridgestone Arena, so it's kind of cold.
It's a little chilly.
What color is the sweater to you?
Blue.
I think in the stream it looks purple.
Well, because you're against a red wall.
That's what that is?
Blue and red make purple.
Oh, it's driving me crazy. All right, to your phones, 615-737-1025.
So there is a discussion going on in our YouTube chat comparing A.J. Brown and Julio Jones' stats back and forth. So one commenter on the YouTube stream says Julio Jones gets 11.1 yard per carry and A.J. Brown gets about 8. Julio has caught 63% of his targets while A.J. has caught 58% of his targets. And one commenter says clearly from these stats, Julio is producing when he's on the field. You can complain that he's not on the field, but you're blind if you think he's not producing.
I mean, again, 731 yards is 731 yards over a 17-game season. Like, I'm not – the Seattle game, yeah, Julio was a factor. Julio, you don't win that game without Julio Jones. You don't even come close to winning that game without Julio Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is that in your big wins, and to me, Seattle, Kansas City, and Buffalo were the three big wins. It has been Derek and, like, Derek and Julio in the Seattle game. Derek and AJ in the last two games. I'd like it to be Derek and, because I do wonder. Go back to that Seattle game. If AJ Brown doesn't drop those, how many passes he dropped? Three. Four? He doesn't drop those passes, you may run away with that game. And I know we can go back and say, well, if this, if that, if whatever, but you may win that game, like, handedly. Instead, it comes right down to the wire. Well, I'm talking about playing the best teams. And when you play the best teams, I mean, you're going to need everybody doing their thing. And I got to say, the idea of yards per reception right now, which I know is like a big Vegas thing, like yards per play is a big Vegas stat. I don't care about that when it comes to AJ and Julio. I watch the games. I don't need somebody to make up a stat that makes me think, oh, okay, yeah, that's exactly. I mean, like Titans drive, for example, against Buffalo. Here's in the fourth quarter. Tannehill to AJ for 13. Tannehill to AJ for 20. Tannehill to Derek for no gain. Tannehill to AJ for 6. Tannehill to Julio for 6, field goal. The next Titans drive. Tannehill to Nick Westbrook-Akina for 14. Tannehill to AJ for 22. Tannehill to Westbrook-Akina 5. Tannehill to Westbrook-Akina 8. Tannehill complete to Henry for 9. Henry on the left side for a touchdown for 13 yards. Those AJ stats in the fourth quarter of the big game, the AJ stats are 22-20. What was the other one? 13. Like, AJ's doing his job.
And I don't think it's necessarily fair to compare averages because Julio's caught a lot of deep passes. I mean, he may have two. What was it against
the deep ball against the Seahawks? Yeah, that
deep
one
ball against the Seahawks. He had a couple deep balls against Buffalo. Like, that's going to up his average.
He had that one weird one where I didn't even thought he caught it against Buffalo, where it was a great catch.
Yeah, it was a great catch.
But I mean, the flag came out for interference. So I was like, okay. And then they were like, no, he caught the ball on the sideline. Like, holy crap, he caught it. So, yeah, he had two deep passes throughout the course of the year. But
and
I think this retracted
touchdown against Seattle.
But this is what I think. And I don't know if, like, I understand the text line gets mad and the YouTube stream gets mad. And the, like, to the Julio defenders out there, is what he's doing right now what you signed up for? Like, when, as a fan, the day that you heard that the Titans have made this trade, Is this what you signed up for? What you've gotten so far?
For me personally, absolutely not.
I'm talking about for them, though. Because you weren't for this trade.
No.
But for them, is this what you agreed to? Because I can't see any way you can say yes. What's next?
Another texter texts into the text line and says, at this point, I feel like I would rather stick with Corey Davis rather than Julio Jones. Jared, your thoughts?
That's tough. I mean, I've seen Corey Davis play one game with the Jets, and he absolutely demolished the Titans. I'm not a huge Corey Davis fan. I do think in sports, like, the analytic guys will argue this to the high heavens, but I think there's something about the clutch gene or, you know, the steel marbles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example. The Braves, they got two pitchers, two young pitchers. They got Max Fried, who, you know, is going to probably win a Cy Young here in the near future. And they got Ian Anderson. And if I had to pick one to win a World Series game, it would be Ian Anderson. Because
really?
He has pitched, I think, now in five postseason games. I believe he's like 4-0 with like a 2-something ERA. They've pitched him in a game 7. They've pitched him in a game 6. He was fantastic in kind of the swing game of the NLDS. And he's just got it. And what's funny is the Braves, you know, 2 decades ago were this exact same way. Glavin had one great start in the playoffs, is you know, one hitter against the Indians that led them to the World Series. Outside of that, Tom Glavin had the reputation of not being a very big-time postseason pitcher. But John Smoltz had this reputation of, hey, in the playoffs, this guy has got the marbles of steel. And I really believe in that in sports, that a guy like Derek Jeter or a guy like Michael Jordan, that they have that in them. And I'm not sure that Corey has that. Like, I think it was time and time again in big games where Corey Davis just went, like, where's Corey? Corey! And I think when we're talking about what the Titans are doing right now, the word Super Bowl keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get there, you're going to play in some big games. And I think Corey disappears too much in the big games. That's my biggest knock on Davis. And I don't know about Julio. I mean, I thought Julio was great in the Super Bowl until the Falcons totally lost it. But I can't get on board with Corey because I know what Corey is. And that's, I think, just not good enough. Like, it's just one smidge below good enough.
And how much would the Titans have owed him if they would have re-signed him for the season?
Well, I mean, it would be like what they're paying Julio. I mean,
right.
It wouldn't be. It'd be what they're paying Julio. I mean, they basically chose Julio over Davis. And
right.
I don't think they wanted Davis back. I mean, Chris Sanders heard John Robinson talk about him before free agency, and Chris was like, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. Headlines with Caroline next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Live today from Bridgestone Arena, brought to you by Hermitage Design Center. Do not miss the pregame show. That's right. It'll be this Sunday from the Corner Pub downtown. Chris Sanders, Mark Howard, Robbie Stanley, and for me, I'll be at the World Series. So join us 9:30 to 11:30 at Corner Pub. That's 151 Fifth Avenue North, prior to the Titans and the Colts. The pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Listen to the Major League Baseball postseason on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company. Tonight, it's Game 1 of the World Series on ESPN 94.9 as the Atlanta Braves, let's go, take on the Houston Astros. First pitch at 7:09. 312 Pizza Company in Germantown is home to the best pizza in Nashville. Head to 312 Pizza Company to grab a bite, a beer, and watch the World Series tonight between the Braves and the Astros. Once again, if you're driving around, the Preds game will be on 102.5, so that game will be on ESPN 94.9. It's time now for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Headlines with Caroline, presented by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the Braves.
Mike Tomlin's name has apparently been thrown around potentially for the USC job, and he addressed it in his most recent press conference, kind of shutting down any rumors that he could be heading to college. Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say about the USC rumors.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
So Mike Tomlin very much so not entertaining the idea. And I a lot of coaches, college coaches maybe get asked, you know, are you heading to USC? Are you heading to LSU? A lot of professional coaches, are you heading back to college? A lot of times is, you know, I'm focused on my team, very much so a coach answer. But Mike Tomlin is not really leaving any room for speculation about where his priorities are at.
I mean, I think Mike Tomlin's offended by it.
Yeah.
And I'll explain like that in when he, and he tells you he's offended by it when he says, is anybody asking Sean Payton about it? Is anybody asking Andy Reid about it? I'm going to tell you the way I interpreted this, and I could be totally wrong about this. I think Mike Tomlin feels like he's been fighting a perception for 10 years that he's not a good NFL coach. Remember, Terry Bradshaw came out a couple of years ago and was like, ah, you know, he's just like a cheerleader. He's not a, you know, he's not a coach. He's not a, he inherited a great team from Bill Cowher. They won that Super Bowl, and they've been good. They haven't been great, but they've been good ever since. And I think Tomlin looks at it and is like, it's hard to be a coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I've won a lot of games. And that maybe he doesn't feel like he's gotten the respect he deserves. He thinks Andy, people respect Andy so much as an NFL coach that no one ever brings up the idea of Andy going to college. They respect Sean Payton so much that nobody ever thinks about the idea of Sean Payton going to college. But they don't respect me enough in order to not bring up the idea of me going to college. And I'm going to be honest with you. And again, I'm just interpreting this however I interpret it. I think Mike Tomlin looks at that and thinks, what do Andy Reid and Sean Payton have in common that I don't?
Mm-hmm.
And I see where he's coming from, if that's where what he's saying. Because for years, I think people have looked at Mike Tomlin like, oh, yeah, you know, he's okay, he's whatever. But he's done everything those guys have done.
Yeah.
Notice he didn't say Belichick. He said exactly one guys that have one title, just like he's got one
guys
title.
Who have one titles that are having off seasons.
Just like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one championship for Sean Payton, one championship for Andy Reid, one championship for Mike Tomlin. I thought it was well said by Mike Tomlin. Did you see whose names come up for the USC job?
I've seen a lot of names thrown
but
around.
But did you see who's Ian, did you see whose name came out yesterday?
Mr. 8-8.
Jeff Fisher.
Can't go 8-8 in a 12-game season.
So I was thinking about this.
USC alum.
I was thinking about this.
Fight on.
When I was a kid, and I remember, like, and I love Mark Howard. I love Mark Howard. But, like, when it comes to firing stuff or whatever, I remember as a kid, Mark Howard saying, like, if you fire Jeff Fisher, he'll get the USC job. He'll get a job in 5 minutes. And that was, like, for a long time, like, a reason why we didn't want Jeff Fisher fired. Because it was like, well, somebody else is going to hire Jeff Fisher. And in hindsight, it's like, good, hire him.
Who cares?
So I got a theory. I got a theory that Floyd is pulling the strings from up above. And he wants Jeff Fisher at USC so that they never lose to UCLA ever again. That's all I can come up with. And Brett McMurphy is the one who reported it, which is crazy to me. It's crazy to me that Brett McMurphy, because Brett McMurphy is a reliable college football reporter.
Yeah.
And he reported that Jeff Fisher is in the mix. And if they hire Jeff Fisher at USC, L-O-L. Like, this guy, he hasn't coached in 5 years.
Hammer the under on whatever the over-under for USC's wins
college.
Are.
And you're going to bring him into USC? Oh, God. I love these places. I love these places. I do. These places that hire guys that have never coached in college and have not even really been that good and then expect them to be. I love it. And they fire their coach. And they're these great programs. They fire their coach, and they got no clue who to hire. I laugh at that every time. What's next?
Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams placed on the COVID-19 list yesterday after he tested positive. And we can assume that he is vaccinated because he is yet to be forced to follow the protocols for unvaccinated players, which is good news for Green Bay because they have a game on Thursday. So if he is vaccinated and asymptomatic, the NFL protocol is that he will have to get two negative COVID tests 24 hours apart to be able to play Thursday against the Cardinals. Tight deadline for a huge game for two NFC contenders. Matt LaFleur said the team is also expected to be without their defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, for Thursday's game as well.
So, and that's a big deal because LaFleur farms out the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal. I mean, I hate this because this is going to be such a great game.
Yeah.
Like Arizona, Green Bay. I mean, this is a statement game. Like if Arizona can whack Green Bay, then they are very much the favorite, very much for real in the NFC, having beaten the Rams and Green Bay.
If
Green Bay flexes their muscle on Arizona, then I think, you know, that maybe opens our eyes here. But I don't know without Devontae Adams and Lazard at wide receiver, I don't think Green Bay can beat Arizona.
No.
And especially defensive coordinator on a team where the offensive coach just, you know, farms out the side of the ball. I mean, I hate it for the game, but I think if I'm an Arizona fan, I don't hate that news. What's next?
Guess who's back in New York? Joe Flacco is back in New York. The New York Jets have reacquired their quarterback in a trade with the Eagles. So he spent the 2020 season there as the Jets' backup under previous coaching staff. But rookie quarterback Zach Wilson, Jets' previous quarterback, is expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks with a sprained PCL in his right knee that he suffered against the Patriots on Sunday. The earliest that he could return is November 14th against the Bills. So a nice little warm welcome back for Zach Wilson as he faces this Bills team. So
Pretty big if, though.
He could come back. But this cost the Jets a 2022 sixth-round conditional pick, which will improve to a fifth-round pick if Joe Flacco plays a certain number of times, but Matt White will actually be the replacement for Zach Wilson. They brought in Joe Flacco just for insurance purposes.
So,
but Matt White has made his NFL debut on Sunday when Zach Wilson went down.
I will say this about Joe Flacco. The moment that both Ian and I realized that Floyd didn't like Mariota was when we were at Oktoberfest doing the radio show.
Fun.
And yeah, for Floyd and I, Oktoberfest.
Yeah,
was quite
you too.
An experience.
Yeah.
And we were at Oktoberfest, and the Titans were getting ready to play the Broncos. And I said, who's better quarterback, Flacco, Mariota? And he said, you know, I think I'd have to pick Flacco. And I was like, you're done with Mariota. He's like, no, I just say, you know, I'd rather have Flacco.
You just made a statement without saying anything.
And Ian, who I am sure it was in his contract, that he was never allowed to disagree with Floyd. Even Ian, you kind of called Floyd out on that one too. Like, dude, because he hated Joe Flacco so much. And so when I see Joe Flacco to the Jets, I just think, man, you know, just when you think it can't get worse for the Jets, it gets worse for the Jets. Joe Flacco.
I mean, the Jets are just comical at this point. They're a comical franchise. It's just, at this point, just call it Jetsing. Jets doing Jet stuff.
They beat the Titans. What's next?
That is true. Tom Brady became the first NFL quarterback to reach 600 career touchdowns. Passed that on Sunday and threw a couple more after that in their 38-3 win over the Chicago Bears. But the biggest drama that happened here, so Mike Evans caught the 600th touchdown, not realizing that it was a record. He threw the ball into the stands and then, you know, Bruce Arians was like, wait, no, what are you doing? That was a record. They wanted to bring it back for Tom Brady and possibly for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But that fan, obviously, not wanting to give it back, did give it back. But in exchange for the 600 touchdown ball, he will get two signed jerseys and a helmet from Tom Brady, a signed Mike Evans jersey and his game cleats, a $1,000 credit to the Buccaneers team store, and two season tickets for the remainder of this season and the next. And even though he got all of that in return, it still is not even near the value of that 600 touchdown ball.
So, I mean, like, I know Tony Romo and Jim Nantz were having fun with this on the broadcast. Like, that was a terrible deal when they said it was like a couple
there's nothing
signed
you can
balls
do about
or whatever,
it.
You know, that they were going to get
it. He had
that,
to give the ball back.
You don't have to give it back.
I mean.
But I would say this. Like, I do think that the making fun of the return, which, by the way, that's a pretty good return.
It's a great return. The ball's worth $500,000.
But you're going to get to know. And I think Brady said on the Monday night game last night, I think he said he gave him a Bitcoin. So that's what, $60,000?
And he did ask for a round of golf with Brady. And I'm sure Brady would do it.
I would say this, like, would I pay $500,000 to be friends with Tom Brady? Like,
you totally would.
Probably.
You know, I mean, love him.
Here's the one thing I'll say about this. Because I was thinking about, you know, if I'm in that situation, you know, where I have the football and they're like, you know, this is Tom 600.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, it's Tom, like, he, like, it's Tom Brady's 600th football.
Yeah.
Like, it's
like
his.
Like, it's a big deal.
It's his. Like, he did it. Like, it's his. And I think,
mean, that's going to Canton.
I think as a, like, fan of the game, like, it's a privilege to be able to have watched Tom Brady for the last 20 years. And so I would want Tom Brady to know that I think it is an honor to have watched him play. That I would, I mean, like, I take all the free stuff you're going to give me. Yeah. I take it in a heartbeat. But I would want him to know that it's not about that. And it's about the respect that I have for the game and the respect that I have for what he's given the game, that I would give that $500,000 back.
You would not give the $500,000 back.
No, I think I would. And I think, too, I would be like, hey, like, you know, I'd pick like a charity around here that's important to me. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, Tom.
Put it there. Yeah.
Like, Tom, I need you to.
It needs it more than I do.
I need you to kind of step to the plate. Those are headlines with Caroline, presented by Firo Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel said something on Sunday that has kind of floated around, but he's going where I think maybe he either should go or shouldn't go, but he shouldn't half go there or half not go there. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, live from Bridgestone Arena. Our coverage brought to you by Hermitage Design Center. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.